For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
The worms crawl in, the worms crawl out. They'll eat your guts and spit them out. And when your bones begin to rot, the worms remain, but you do not. So don't ever laugh as a hearse goes by, for someday you'll be next in line. And when death brings his cold despair, ask yourself, will anyone care?
Macabre may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
I fucking love it.
It's like a whole ordeal.
Kelly,
get my earplugs.
First of all, I laughed my ass off.
Good.
So I was wondering, I was like, oh my gosh, did I laugh hard enough that you heard it in the other room on your headphones? And then, second of all, I love your hair.
Oh, yeah, so thanks. Good. I forgot that.
Yeah, I was like, I have to get in there and start recording before she gets on. She always beats me, and I just want to catch her reaction. Because that's going in the video.
Yeah. I get in there, and I'm like,
because I figure it's a darker episode. So I was like, that'll be one way to kind of lighten it before we start.
Good, you know? Good. I know. I was so nervous getting on for this one that I feel like we need something, but I really cut down and I'm only doing certain things for this one. I just figured the easier we can make this and more.
I'm down for that. Yeah.
Not good. And I'm excited for the drunk history episode.
What's to come
yeah,
later.
Cause, oh man, I'm so excited for that. But
I got warmed up already.
Good.
So.
I know this is my first for the day. Ty made me a double old fashioned.
A double old fashioned. Mm-hmm. So how much? How many ounces of bourbon are in there?
He doubled it.
That's a lot.
Yeah, he doubled the.
How you get angry on that?
We'll see. We'll see. I know, I'm like, I was trying to, like, it was a fucking rough day, too, so I'm like, oh, I don't know if I should do this. But then there's other stuff in the fridge for after I'm done with this, but I'm like,
yeah,
I need some.
I had a beer that was 24 ounces, and now I'm having a margarita.
Nice. Nice. Yeah, after this, it'll probably be, I'm trying to think of what else we have in the fridge. Probably a Dirty Shirley or something. Stick with the cherry
thing. Dirty Shirley.
So, do you know what a kitty cocktail is?
Okay.
It's 7-Up or whatever lemon-lime soda you want with grenadine and a couple maraschino cherries. And then that's okay. A kitty cocktail. A Dirty Shirley is the adult version of that. And that's when you put in vodka. You can do like a flavored vodka. And then like you add in your lemon lime soda with your grenadine and stuff like that. It's really fun if you can find a really good cherry liqueur and do it that route.
I was gonna say, that sounds good. Yeah, that would be really good.
One of my favorites.
Or what are we doing? Are we just gonna rip the band-aid off and go for it?
Yeah, mentally.
The only other thing is we do have a shout out for Patreon for sure.
We do.
Two shout outs for Patreon.
We do. Okay. And I apologize in advance if the cats are like in the background. It's been a week in this house. I tell you what. Oh, okay. Oof. Okay. Before I really get going on this, if there is any point that it's getting to be too much, please let me know. And we can do what we need to.
Take a pause. Take a breather. Yeah. And I mean, for listeners, too, mm-hmm. You have the option to hit that pause button.
Yeah. Exactly. Because how long this took me to really write research. I was fascinated when I heard about it. Really, even listening to it was really rough. Like when I was hearing other documentaries, other people on YouTube and podcasts talking about this, it was like, wow, this is really dark. When they briefly mention some things and then you really start going and digging in, and it's, I had no idea. They made it sound like a walk in the park, and then you start looking into it and it's horrible. But yeah, so you just signal me. We will go from there. So, hello and welcome to a macabre. I said that really weird. Macabre, a dark history.
It's just because of how this is starting. So,
yeah,
it's not like the normal.
I'm nervous, really. I am. This one, I'm nervous about. But not only am I nervous, I'm also Blair. So,
and I'm Hallie. So, this is normal.
We're so happy you came to hang out with us today, even despite the topic. Thank you so much for choosing us as your entertainment of the hour. Remember that this show is not for the faint of heart, and negative energy is so not allowed. A bit of housekeeping on the front end. If you want a little more from us, we are on Patreon, where you can listen early and ad-free. Yes. Guess what? This is the best news on this whole episode. We have to shout out a couple of amazing people. My goodness, this is so exciting. Big shout out to two people who recently joined us over on Patreon. You're either going to love or hate the fact that you can see this face right now, but here it is. First, we have to thank Emily. Thank you for being a freaky friend, Emily. We really appreciate it. We know who you are. We hope you enjoy. More to come with Emily. If you recognize that name, maybe you do know who Emily is. And we have another person who, oh my gosh, like top tier. Amanda is a macabre hot day. They joined Patreon. Thank you so much. This is so awesome. It just makes our day.
And exciting stuff. As a macabre hottie, once you're a member for 3 months, you get a shirt. No one else has those shirts. We have those shirts. No one else has those shirts.
More to come.
Exclusive.
Yeah, exactly. It's exclusive. Oh, yeah. Macabre hottie. They get treated so well over there. But if you're not on Patreon, you can do the same as Emily and Amanda did. Okay. There's multiple tiers over there. Also, did you know that you can now gift Patreon memberships? That's freaking awesome. If you're looking for a birthday gift idea or something to just little treat yourself or treat somebody else, Patreon. You can gift that.
Your weird friends.
You can gift us now to your weird friends. We highly recommend that. But anyway, speaking of some really cool people and gifting and weird friends, we also have a private Facebook group where you can hang with more of our phenomenal friends and family over there. Our listeners are so awesome and they really show it to us every day. They make our day so much better. So thank you, listeners. And if you're not over there, come join the fam. We'd be happy to see you. If you like what you're hearing, even though it's early in the show, please leave a rating and review on your favorite podcast platform. We would really appreciate to see what you're thinking of us, and seeing us out there really helps us. And that's not the only way you can help us. You can also tell a friend, you know, bring us up at the dinner table, send a flirty text or something to give us a little mention in between your pickup lines, whatever brings you joy.
Drop those awkward conversations at parties. Yeah,
in the corner.
I heard this story. You know how I found out about corpse, what is it? Corpse whiskey or stiff drink?
Yes.
That's how. Macabre. The Whale Hotel. Spend some time there. It's not 5-star. We can tell you that.
We don't even know if it's a 12-monther helping with the joint pain. If you want to know what that context was, you're going to have to go back and listen. Yeah. Whatever brings you joy, whatever tickles your fancy, just spread the word. It's very helpful. It's funny you said stiff drink today, actually, because somebody did mention that to me. They're like, hey.
Really?
They're like, I'm listening to your episode. They're like, do you need a stiff drink? Wink. You're and like, I'm like, what?
I'm going to have one later.
And they're like, I'm listening to that episode right now. And I was like, cool. Thank you. I was like, I was like, well, yes, actually, it's been a day. But oh, wow. Okay. Thank you. That made my day. But we digress. All of our links and ways to reach us are in the show notes, as always. So please check it out. So that's about as light as it's going to get this episode. We are trying. And now it's just going to go downhill. Today, we have a dark and very graphic topic. Please take this as your warning. It's the only one you're going to get because it has every trigger warning that you could possibly think of in this episode. I don't know how else to put it to you. It's okay if that's not okay for you. Please don't listen then for your sake, because let me tell you, I know how bad it is. Please skip ahead. Go back and re-listen to something that makes you laugh. We definitely have later episodes. I will say this is probably the darkest episode we have yet done, just as a context for you. When I had first heard about this topic, I was in complete shock. I can't say that I'm surprised necessarily that this happened, and we'll talk about that too, but there isn't really a way of making this any lighter. And this one took a lot out of me. And I've never broke down doing research before. I've gotten close. I've gotten nauseous at some of the stuff we've talked about. But this one was really rough. And it took a while. And for Hallie's sake and everybody else's, I did cut a lot of the stuff out that I found, because it's too much. So if you feel that you would like to dig into this a little bit further on your own, you are more than welcome to. And I encourage you to look into it. It's important to know about, but do so in the capacity that you think you can handle, because it's not good. This content in today's episode is violent, it's heinous, and it's evil. I'm going to be blunt about it. If you are triggered, like I said, please don't listen to this episode. We understand and we love you, and we will catch you in the next one. If I may take a moment to set us up for this, I am going to just step on a soapbox for a hot second, because I have something to say because of how bad this is. Learning about the past is absolutely crucial. History should not be something that is ever dismissed, and I do mean ever. And here on Macabre, we really do strive to never stop learning about the world and what came before. Because it's entertaining and it's funny, but also there's a reason for it. And we don't learn, if we don't learn from the past, we're just going to repeat it. Everybody should know that phrase by now. And I encourage you to never stop learning about fucking anything, to be honest, because knowledge is power. Do your research. Have an open mind. Think critically. The less we think for ourselves, the scarier the world becomes. Ask questions. Be curious. Because you want to know what? Smart is sexy. It's pretty damn sexy. And we all want to be a little sexier. Come on.
Yeah. Doesn't. Yeah.
Exactly. It's okay. Brainy, baby. Honestly. Just, man, open a book. I say all this because it's terrifying to the amount of people in the world today that don't believe that some of our past actually happened. And I won't go into depth into that on this episode, of course. We don't have the time for it, but it is a very alarming number. Ignorance often harbors fear. And the more we learn about something, the more we get to know about something, the less fear that we have about something. Because guess what? Fear often fuels hatred. It's a vicious fucking cycle. Yeah. Hatred just turns us into fucking douchebag monsters. Which leads to the topic that we're going to talk about today. Because if it weren't for that kind of shit, honestly, this wouldn't have even fucking happened. So without further ado, here are my show notes. Not even a century ago, the world was enduring mass terror as war tore through every corner. It was a hell never seen. So join us today as we talk about one of Macabre's darkest episodes yet, Japan's Biological Warfare Program, Unit 731. I figure the best way to introduce this topic, if this is something that you've never heard about, that is okay, because it actually came into public knowledge not that long ago. Yeah.
That's insane.
It's awful. We're still learning about it. So I thought There is a British newspaper called The Guardian. I know a lot of us know about that newspaper. They had written an article about this back and published it back in April of 2018. And I think they set it up for us pretty nicely today. The article is entitled Unit 731, Japan Discloses Details of Notorious Chemical Warfare Division. National Archives lists members of Army Branch that conducted lethal experiments on Chinese civilians in the 30s and 40s. Japan has disclosed the names of thousands of members of Unit 731, a notorious branch of the Imperial Japanese Army that conducted lethal experiments on Chinese civilians in the 1930s and 40s as it sought to develop chemical and biological weapons. The country's National Archives passed on the names of 3,607 people in response to a request by Katsu Natsuyama, a professor at Tsinghua University of Medical Science. In a move that could ignite the public debate over Japanese atrocities committed in occupied China before and during the Second World War. Quote, this is the first time that an official document showing the real names of almost all members of 731 has been disclosed. Nishiyama also told Manchi Shimbun newspaper, quote, this list is important evidence that supports testimony by those involved. Its discovery will be a major step towards unveiling concealed facts, end quote. The document lists members of the Kuangtang Army's Epidemic Prevention and Water Purification Department, the unit's official name, and is dated the 1st of January, 1945. It includes the names, ranks, and contact details for more than 1,000 Army medics, as well as dozens of doctors, surgeons, nurses, and engineers. Japan reluctantly acknowledged the unit's existence in the late 90s when it was first brought to light, but has refused to discuss its activities up until now. Instead, accounts of the unit's activities have been built around testimony from former members, photographs, and documentary evidence. In 2006, Toyo Ishii, a former nurse, said that she helped bury the remains of victims of Japan's biological warfare program at a site in Tokyo as U.S. forces moved into the Japanese capital at the end of the Second World War. Ishii said that she and her colleagues had been ordered to bury numerous corpses, bones, body parts following the Japanese surrender in August of 1945. Other accounts indicate that similar experiments took place in other parts of Asia. And in 2006, Akira Akino, a former doctor, said that he had been ordered to conduct experiments on condemned men while stationed on the island of Miduana in the Philippines. Formed in northeastern China, Unit 731 conducted lethal experiments on an estimated 3,000 prisoners who were mostly Chinese and Korean. According to historical accounts, male and female prisoners named logs, which we'll talk about later, by their torturers were subjected to vivisection without anesthesia, after they had been deliberately infected with diseases such as typhus and cholera. Some had limbs amputated or organs removed, or both. As Japan headed towards the defeat in the summer of 1945, the unit's leader, Lieutenant General Shiro Ishii, forbade researchers from discussing their work and ordered the demolition of the unit's Harbin headquarters. At the end of the war, U.S. authorities secretly granted unit officials immunity from the prosecution in return for access to their research. Several former officials went on to have successful careers in medicine, academia, and business. Nishiyama reportedly plans to publish the list online to encourage historians to conduct further studies into the unit. End of article.
Woof. Well, that's a lot already.
Yeah.
3,000 people.
Yep.
Their own people.
Yes. Yes. And that's only what we know. We know for a fact that they have covered up a lot more. So I would not be surprised if there were more victims than that. Yeah. Yeah, we're going to get into it. Okay. I thought The Guardian kind of set up how the discovery came about really well. And we learned a lot from just that article, what the heck happened in a summary, but really, what was Unit 731? The Manchu Detachment Unit 731, also just known as Unit 731, in short, was a secret Japanese biological and chemical warfare program that took place in Harbin, China. It's now sometimes referred to as the Auschwitz of the East. Yeah.
I understand why.
Yeah. Germany wasn't the only group taking care of people in that manner back then. They masked the program under the name of Epidemic Prevention and Water Purification Department, which...
Of course they did.
Yeah. And that's how they were able to get away with some of the stuff they did. We're going to talk about a certain, we'll call it procedure that they did.
Sorry, people. We're laughing at the cats in the background.
Lanny is having a conniption hardcore, like.
He doesn't like the conversation that we're having. No.
Rightfully, I also do not. He's not a fan. Yes. Sorry if you can hear Lanny just losing his mind. They got away with the beginnings of their procedures, in quote, because they started with water torture, which we'll get into. But there's a kind of a theory that they were able to get some of those supplies for that kind of thing because of that was what they were stamped under. And then it just grew from there. As the article had mentioned, they had called their subjects logs. So their test subjects were known in the files as Marutas, which means logs in English, but they experimented on prisoners of war, unsuspecting villagers, men, women, and children of all ages. There was no discrimination in who they tested on, and it's going to get even worse when we find out more about what happened. And it wasn't just the children. It was the prisoners having children while they were being tested upon, and they were using the infants being born in that situation as test subjects as well. Yep. It is estimated, now in the article it said 3,000. Now that was published in 18. Since then, they have been able to confirm an estimated amount of as many as 12,000.
Oh
yes.
God.
Still, that can be low. Because we still don't know everything, and they still can't find everything. Over 12,000 people died as victims in this program, none of which were natural causes, let's say. Similar to the Nazi regime's racist tendencies, Imperial Japan believed that Chinese and Korean people were inferior to them, very similar to the whole Aryan race thing in Germany with Jewish people. There is still a tension between Japanese and Chinese cultures today because of that. So if you ever are looking at things in either culture and you're seeing some standoffishness against the other, this is partly why they have had kind of a running issue with each other for quite some time. Many of Unit 731's prisoners were Chinese and Korean, of course, as we said, but also Russian and Mongolian. Russian probably more so that they were prisoners of war, but yeah. Prior to this program, Japan actually treated their prisoners of war pretty well and actually provided decent medical care for them. They go on record as being pretty decent. So people, obviously you don't want to be a prisoner of war, but if you had to end up somewhere, this is probably a better place than some to go to. And this is partially because they had signed the Geneva Convention of 1925. In short, the Geneva Convention treaty was basically it banned chemical and biological warfare. Other people obviously signed it too. We don't have time to go into that today, but it's a very interesting concept. So highly recommend reading up on the Geneva Convention. Unfortunately, as you can tell by the date of the Geneva Convention, it was very shortly lived. Soon, there were younger people and a new generation coming into the business. And soon we would be seeing some young army physicians coming in and questioning, hey, why are we doing this if they're prisoners of war? One to mention in particular would be the young army physician by the name of Ishishiro, who would appear on the scene, and he would definitely see an opportunity with reading this. Of course, it was very crucial for everybody coming in to read the Geneva Convention because we need to follow these guidelines, but he saw an opportunity. It wouldn't take him long to realize just how he could get away with some things because he was crass from the beginning. He was very well liked, and so it didn't take him long to rise through the ranks, and then he would become the head of 731. Of course. So, yeah.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
This is how it starts. He is going to be a pretty big player in this. He was the one that really facilitated, thought of, and acted out a lot of the, end quote, procedures. He really got away with it. There's no remorse on this. And he wasn't the only one. We are going to talk about somebody else as well. But Shiro was not a great person. And he wouldn't be the only one, like I said, that had played a role in the huge hell. There is also a man by the name of Yoshio Shinozuka that he had taken part in a lot of the experiments. And between him and Shiro kind of brainstorming, they completely created their own circle of hell. I am actually going to read you a testimony from Yoshio just to show you the mental place they were in, because it's really hard to understand, honestly. So I'm going to read this to you from, there is actually a unit731.org. It has a lot of great information. I highly recommend it if you're interested, but his statement is as follows. It says, quote, "There was a young special cell of human experiments which had a window, but it was almost impossible to see in." He's now talking about the unit building they were able to get into, and this will be very roughly translated into English because they're translating it from Japanese. Quote, "He had iron doors which were always locked and guarded. To get in, you needed a special permit and a pass with a photograph, and the entrance and exit times were recorded. It was very strict. Towards the end of my time with the unit, I went in twice with Matura's experiments logs, who were being conducted upon. The two people seemed to have just died and had been opened up. My job was to collect parts containing the bacteria which we had infected them with to put them in a glass case for confirmation of how far the disease had spread through the body." Mr. Shinozuka said that after 4 years of training with the whole brainwashing technique they were using, he knew what was about to happen in Harbin, China, and he was not surprised at what he saw in the cells. He goes on record to say that he never felt any guilt for being a part of it and for what he did. And only after the war was he actually taken into custody. Yeah. At least he was in the custody of the Chinese. That makes me feel better because it's, you know what? You operated on the Chinese, so
yeah,
karma that way.
Deal with that. I just don't understand how people can...
No.
Just have no...
Exactly. They literally...
Remorse.
No, exactly.
So scary. Right?
They literally use it as the crass excuse. Oh, science. We're just trying to learn about this through science. We've heard that so many times recently on the syphilis episode, and yeah, it's awful. He claims that he wasn't aware of the full horrors that went down in the unit, and he stood by that the rest of his life. Yeah, the fact that he was such a high contributor, I highly doubt that. He went on to say that, quote, "Before the war, we were told we'd have to fight to protect ourselves, our families, and the Japanese people. When we were detained by the Chinese, we fought the authorities, treated us humanely, whereas I saw our treatment of them and had been inhumane. We were surprised," he said. "That's one reason I've decided to speak out now. I wasn't aware of all of the things that went on in Unit 731, And now that it is made public, I just want it to never be repeated. Our young people have to be told the truth so it can never be repeated. Which, I mean, yes, it should be said. Because, yeah, this shit shouldn't be repeated. We didn't even get to the real shit that has happened yet. But, like, you were part of it. You were part of it. So, we've talked about the before and the after with some of these people that were caught. But we gotta really talk about what the fuck they did. Because we mentioned it briefly, but we won't go into a ton of detail on any of these things. Because I, unfortunately, came across some pictures that I will never be unable to see. I won't go into details about them, but I had to cut it off when I was seeing pictures of babies. And I will not go into detail about that because it's horrific. Definitely not okay. Remember how we were talking about them being under the guise of the water purification department? Okay. Yeah. This is where the treatment started. We're given the funds by the government originally. It started off innocent. And okay, I'll give them that. Things do. The department, like we learned from the syphilis episode, the government doesn't always know what every faction is doing, right? But they started with the guise that, yes, we need to figure out what these illnesses are doing to people, and we would like to really discover a cure and how to prevent it and purifying the water for our civilians and whatnot, right? That soon turned into, fuck the Geneva Convention. Let's use this for war. I'd like to see what we could do with chemical warfare. And that's really how it started. And then it turned into, what can we do to our enemies? But also, how much trauma can we put our own soldiers through to see what they can withstand so that we can build better tech, better uniforms, etc. And so that's where one of the most gruesome and first experiments that they worked on was called the frostbite testing. And a physiologist by the name of Yoshimura Hisatu was the one that really conducted these. And I'm going to go as delicately as I can into it. But the best way I can put it is they would take people in different levels of clothing. Some would be better suited for cold weather, some wouldn't be. And they would try different things to see what would be better. And what they would do is they would hose them down with water in freezing temperatures. They would keep going until the person had hypothermia. They would do tests on them then to see, what does the body really do during this? And what kind of shock does this look like to the system, etc. And then they would keep going. They would then submerge their limbs into cold buckets of water that were filled with ice in frozen temperatures to begin with. And then at that point, they would sometimes put them in another like winter coat that was covered in ice and just see what would happen. Obviously, these people developed frostbite. They lost toes and fingers like you expect with frostbite sometimes, right? Especially up in the Midwest here, we know about frostbite. It didn't stop there. Sometimes they were removing full limbs this way from how frozen they were. And there are actually accounts of people hearing things snapping in their bodies from this. They were being kept alive just enough to not go unconscious. It was awful. Sometimes when they were trying to get these people out of that level to see what they could do to prevent this from happening to their soldiers, they were going to try different things. They tried spilling hot water on them at that point, which, can you imagine? They would expose them to open fire. They were leaving these subjects untreated overnight to see how they would handle through the night. And if they would stay alive, they would then bring them back in to thaw out. They literally have records of prisoners' blood being thawed out in their veins. Some of the subjects were then immersed in full pools of 100-degree water. Now, that's 100 degrees is really hot. Your shower, like when you go in to be like, that's too hot, that's not even 100 degrees. They were pushing that level of temperature all the way up to 122. Like,
yeah, when your skin is frozen like that.
Yeah.
Think about when you thaw meat out, people.
And imagine the shock your body would go through. I unfortunately had to see pictures of that. It doesn't look real.
Nope.
It's so awful.
Oh, I'm glad I didn't pick to do this episode. Yeah. Cover
it. Yeah. That's probably the most tame it gets, though. It's awful. Full transparency, I don't break down very often. I was able to get through a lot of these pictures. Definitely not feeling good, let me tell you. But literally that one picture of the one baby I saw was what did it.
Yeah, I remember you texted me about that.
Stick with me for a long time. The next type of experiments that they were doing was the vivisection of prisoners. If you don't know what a vivisection is, it's a practice of performing operations on living beings for the purpose of experimentation or a science research. It's not good either way, but there are definitely better ways to do it than what happened here. All of the people that were put through these experiments by Unit 731, they were not in a good place. Obviously, wartime. The country wasn't doing the best, and a lot of people were going hungry. People didn't have the best living conditions. And so they really did, in not a pun intended, but ate up what they were given when they were in there, because they were giving them full meals. They were building these people back up to full health before they would subject them to these treatments, because they wanted to know how it would affect a healthy body. What's even worse, because they're getting these people to such a good point. Some of those people, probably the healthiest they had ever been in their entire lives. And they're going through this. Why I bring this up now is because this is when they were being injected with different diseases, different types of chemicals to see how it would react in the body. And that's why they were doing these vivisections, is they wanted to see it in real time working through your organs. Actually, they didn't have the technology for x-rays or anything like that. They were literally opening you up and going in to see it go through your organs. They were working on literally every single age and gender of the population that existed in their unit. Really rough. These people were conscious. They were not given anything. They literally had to endure this. If they passed out, they either stopped operating and waited for them to wake back up, or they were forced to wake back up to make it go through the process. They would not do it while they were passed out most of the time. They literally just said, it's for science. We need to see how these things work through the body, which not great, because it wasn't just the diseases that they were experimenting on. They were also experimenting with amputations. And that involved some of those people coming out of the frostbite tests to see what it looked like on the inside when you were frozen. This was after they experimented with crushed limbs. They were breaking people's bones and then doing that. Yeah. After these experiments were conducted, they really didn't do any patch-up work. You were made to go through that. And then you were executed by being shot to death or by lethal injection. Yeah. Which brings us to the next test, and that would be weapon testing. Instead of using dummies as you would in training, they were using real people to see what that was like for wounds and your endurance as a human being. There were things like guns and swords and knives and bayonets and flamethrowers and minuscule bombs to test what the exposed skin would look like, that kind of thing. They did also have gas chambers, and they tested out blistering agents and nerve gas in there. They did have some tech that was cutting edge for the time that people didn't know a ton about. They were anticipating there would be some like health effects on people who are using it in the military. So they were using those types of equipment to prolong an exposure with some of their experiments to see like what would happen to them over time. What they were finding in those types of experiments were that they were sterilizing people. Yeah, there were well over a few thousand people that had lost their lives in that experiment. They're thinking that the most impacted out of the deaths was from the vivisection. There are accounts of civilians that I read. There was a little boy in one of the villages that one of his neighbors, an elderly lady, had been taken. And so it wasn't too far of a walk for him to try to find where it was. And at the time, like, they weren't, especially in that area, they knew where that kind of stuff was located, just not the rest of the world. And he had actually found his neighbor through one of the windows. And yeah, but yeah, going back to infections, we've talked about syphilis a lot on Macabre. They were giving people syphilis too. They were also testing syphilis at this time. So Tuskegee wasn't the only place that was doing this kind of thing. But a similar timeline for both. They would infect male patients specifically. And then they were ordered to rape female prisoners and experiment on what that would look like in the onset of getting the disease. There were other experiments that were demanding of this type of action against women in these facilities for other exposures. And this did lead to pregnancy. If they didn't have a competent or not really competent, but more healthy male prisoner at the time, they would make some of the unit workers do it. Yeah. Awful. These babies were immediately taken when they were birthed and they were experimented on just like the rest of them in different ways. They really were adamant about testing the limits of a human body and the willpower of the human mind. And their objective was how they could use this in war against other people. They didn't care who they were affecting. And to them, this was just in a day's work. Yeah. I mean, we're talking, they went all out on some of this shit. Like crashes, like human bodies, like in the crash test dummies, like, but human bodies in these crash experiments. There were like heavy objects that were thrown at some of these prisoners. They were trying to figure out the real effects of the G-force for pilots. They were subjecting that pressure to some of the prisoners as well in these makeshift pressure changers. And they would not stop the pressure gauge. There's a lot of reports that they knew that it was over when their eyes burst. They wouldn't stop. They kept going. They needed to know, I guess, about how much that was. And yeah, this really truly is up there with what was going on in Germany. There was just like different types of experiments happening in the places, but it goes on record that Ishii and Yoshio, they were both very intrigued by what they found out was going on in Germany at the time with those experiments. And they just thought, if they're going to do this for their own curiosities, why don't we try to make it better and try to do the whole, let's make our warfare better.
Yeah. I feel like I haven't had much to say this episode.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you at all.
Just mostly in shock and, I don't know, sad. Makes me sad.
Very sad. These people didn't have a chance. And I can't even begin to imagine. What's an even sadder fact is these aren't the only places in the world that are or have done shit like this. And what's even worse is nobody got out of there alive and nobody was ever fucking convicted for what they did at Unit 731. This is similar to Operation Paperclip. America came into Germany and were like, we want to take some of your top scientists and doctors.
And for our own purposes.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
And some of them ended up, I won't name names here because that could be its own episode, but some of them were named American heroes for the time because they were working in NASA. Same thing with
people coming out of 731. Nobody was convicted. They went off the record on everything that they did. They were able to get jobs at multiple branches of academia, the medical field, without any sort of consequences. It's like, how do you fucking live with yourself?
Apparently they didn't care, so they lived just fine and they got paid really well.
Yep. Yeah. There are a couple people on record, Ishii included, that said that they never lost a night's sleep over it. That was a
yeah,
quote.
That's great. Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. Good for you. Soulless motherfucker. I did mention before, there is a Unit 731 website. It's unit731.org. I highly recommend that you check it out. It is funded. There is a Harbin Museum that shows you what remains. There are still some of the buildings that they used during their experiments that are still there that you could look through. They do say that it's very difficult for a lot of people to walk through, very similar to the concentration camps in Germany. They do have that open to the public. So if you ever go to visit, or if you're from China, or if anybody is going to China anytime soon and would like to learn more about this, there is a map on unit731.org that will show you how to get to this museum. They are open during the week, during normal business hours. I highly recommend looking into this topic more, because there's a lot that still needs to be learned, and there's just a lot that needs to be understood about a concept like this. So a question that you might be asking is, what are the similarities and differences between this and Germany during World War II?
Not a lot of differences.
Not a lot,
I would say.
No. Specifically Japan, really fed off of what they were finding out about Germany. But they were doing this before World War II started. So keep that in mind. This was not something that just started during World War II. And that's something else to note. The experiments, they were wanting to do this to other countries. They were experimenting to do this to other people in the world on a massive scale. With diseases, they went as far as injecting mosquitoes and releasing them on nearby villages to see what would fucking happen. They were taking rats injected with different diseases, including obviously the plague,
sending them out. Yeah.
Killing off villages worth of people by just those experiments. Yeah. They had documentation that they ended up giving the US government because that was part of the deal. They weren't going to get in trouble. We just want to...
That sounds very much like us,
oh,
too.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, if hell is real, then there's a special place for those people, I'm sure.
Yep. I agree. That was a lot to take in. I'm sorry. That was me cutting it down. It's a lot to wrap your head around. If you are still with us, listeners, I'm sorry. I do encourage you to look into it. I encourage you to go and research Operation Paperclip. If you're into World War II, you are going to really be fascinated by Operation Paperclip as well. Unit 731 is just another nightmare that took place in the world at this time. Unfortunately, it was hidden for so long, and we're just starting to really know what happened. I am sure there are more places around the world that we still don't know about that are just as heinous. But this is why it's important to know. This is why it's important to learn about this stuff. Yeah. Listeners, go do something wholesome now. Play with your pets. Do something to bring you some fucking joy and comfort. I hope I didn't scare you today. I know I scared myself.
Yeah. Be bad.
Yeah. Thank you for coming to hang out with us today. We absolutely love you. We promise that it won't always be like this. Take care of yourselves. Show some love, because if more people did that, this kind of shit wouldn't exist. And as always, have fun, be safe, be kind. We love you very much. we will shock you later.
For sure.
For sure.
Come listen to the drunk history episode on Patreon. That'll make it all better.
We literally decided. So we're doing the drunk history episode after this because
immediately after this.
Because we can't.
We need it.
Exactly. It's been a mental torture this whole fucking time. So we need that.
So yeah. Yeah. Grab your adult beverages and come join us.
Yes, please.
We'll catch you on the next one.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.